Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We call it the Hump Show. It's the middle show of the work week. Man, it came quickly. I think with the basketball on Sunday, the men getting down to the Final Four, and then the hoops on Monday, the women finally limiting their field to just four who can still win the NCAA championship. And coming up on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday again, we've got four nights in a row of compelling college hoops. At least I hope so. I hope that what we've had in the tournament so far will continue into its final weekend, because this has been one heck of a delicious run. In fact, and I'm not great at this, I don't rank them. Sports fans are so obsessed with ranking everything. I don't rank because I can barely remember what happened a year ago, much less 2 years ago or three. But I do know that right now, this edition of the NCAA tournament on both the men's and women's side has incredible buzz and electricity, and people are tuning in record numbers. Not just on the men's side, but also on the women's side, which is awesome. And so let's hope that continues through the Final Four when we still have one seeds that are standing, two on the men's side and two on the women's side. Some really cool matchups. You've got teams that have been there. You've got teams that haven't. You've got some star power to the hilt. So I'm looking forward to it. Even though it's family birthday weekend, and even though I have not done my taxes yet, and even though we've got a couple of repair projects, a leaky bathroom sink that has to be fixed, basketball. So the weekend's going to be awesome. Just soaking in these last bits, these last games from the NCAA tournament.
Get the ball popping.
And then, you know, next weekend is the Masters. What? In fact, Masters week starts on Monday. So we're excited about that as well. We're into April. It is the second busiest month on the sports calendar. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We were supposed to have Monty Poole from NBC Sports Bay Area this segment. He actually texted producer Jay and asked if he could push a few minutes. So we'll get to him in our next segment as the Warriors have won five consecutive games. Now, they've got a healthy lead on the Houston Rockets, because once the Rockets winning streak ended at 11 games, they've dropped a couple in a row. So they seem to be in pretty good shape when it comes to the Rockets. Are they going to catch the Lakers? They're closer to the Lakers than the Rockets are to the Warriors. But the Lakers have won 7 of their last 10. And to see four guys in their starting lineup in double figures tonight, it's a big deal. They're playing well. Actually, I think the Lakers do better when they're being chased. They know they're being chased by Golden State, so they are playing some really good basketball right now. I like the D'Angelo Russell wrinkle, because when he's injured, you take away a third scoring option from the Lakers. But to see the way that they have played with him on the court, he's hitting threes, well, at least he did tonight, and they're playing well. The offense looks like it's a lot more in sync, and it's not just LeBron and Anthony Davis, which is the problem a lot of times with the Lakers. So we'll talk a little more about the NBA, the Western Conference, and Monty will join us from the Bay Area coming up in 15 minutes here on CBS Sports Radio. We've got multiple posts on our social media that we need you to find. It's a little bit of hide and seek, if you will, but we actually make it very easy to find us. It's like hiding Easter eggs when you, if your parents ever did this when you were little or you were a kid, or maybe you have younger cousins or younger family members, and they would take the bright orange egg and just drop it in the middle of the yard. That's not hiding it. Or they would take the bright purple egg and just put it next to the chair leg. That's also not hiding it. Well, that's not.
Challenge me a little.
Seriously. And so, yeah, so I'm not sure these are difficult for you to find. The bright orange box on our Twitter and Facebook is for Ask Amy Anything. For instance, you may want to ask me what I'm wearing tonight that I've never worn in my life before. Ever. No joke. First time. It was a birthday gift, an early birthday gift from a family member. He thinks he's very funny. Not the Hubs, but my mom's husband. He thinks he's really funny. He was the first one. He likes to be the first one to send the gift. And it took me a while to figure it out. I couldn't understand what he was doing. And then I finally understood it. Then it finally clicked. So I will have to share that if you ask, but only if you ask. Also, producer Jay just taste tested the latest of my new baked goods. You can ask. Never tried it before. Might have to try it again. Super easy, too, Jay. There was no mixing required. It was only whisking. Do you know what that means?
Like a light, I was going to say a light whisk, but I don't know how
yes,
to say that.
Yes, it is called a whisk. Right. So there was no mixer. I didn't have to plug anything in and mix the recipe violently. It was just a couple of bowls of whisking.
The thing with
combining it, folding it together, and then spooning it into the muffin pan. Super easy.
It came out tremendous.
Thank you. I would say it even took me under 10 minutes to do all of it and put it in the oven. Now, the oven took a little longer, but they bake so perfectly. So, yes, these are all questions you could ask. Coming up next hour, Ask Amy Anything. So that's on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. And while you're there, we've started our run of Final Four questions. Final Four ice cream flavors. Jay, I'm a little bit concerned about our listening audience. There is a lot of mint chocolate chip invading our social media.
I do see that as well.
Why? Why are you ruining a perfectly good ice cream flavor by turning it green? First of all, it's got to be green food coloring. There's no way that the mint is actually green.
No, absolutely not. The green's not it for me as much as just the mint itself. Like, it's ice cream. I don't need mint with that. It's like too fresh of a taste for sweetness.
Okay. So you're not a mint julep person?
No.
Isn't that a drink?
I don't really like mint. Not for me.
Whoa. Yeah. See, I thought I was the only person on the planet who doesn't like mint. Not peppermint, not winter mint, not spearmint, not any type of mint.
No.
I don't like mint. I'll use it to do mouthwash or those little Listerine, what are those called?
Little strips or whatever.
Yeah, thank you, strips. And I'll use those if I have to, but I do, and I obviously have used mint toothpaste before, but I don't like it.
Right. Like, there's a time and place. Like, if that's the only toothpaste there, I'll use it. Or, like, after, like, a meal, if they have the peppermint, maybe once in a while I'll pop one in if I had to.
See, I don't. I don't like candy canes for that reason.
Yeah. I don't really eat candy canes that much either. Only sweet tart ones, so.
Only you. So the fact that we have, I would say, a vast majority of you responding with mint chocolate chip as one of your final four ice cream flavors concerns me.
And we need a ruling here, too. I need a ruling.
A ruling?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Need your thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing a couple Neapolitans.
Is that count for you or no?
That's what I'm asking.
It is an actual flavor that you can buy at the store, even though it does combine strawberry, chocolate, vanilla, and they're distinct. It's not as though they're all folded together.
Right, it's not blended.
But very often people scoop it and scoop across. You scoop across the top, and so you get all three together.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. I mean, a great ice cream flavor, sure, don't get me wrong there, but it's kind of like chocolate, strawberry, vanilla. I don't know if
but you don't have to buy it separately. It's already pre-packaged
for you. So we're going to count that as one?
Yes, because it is a flavor that people recognize.
Okay.
If I go into any, I don't know, any restaurant, if I go into any Dairy Queen, is that unfair? And I talk about how I need some Neapolitan. Everyone's going to know what it is. Now, they may not have it, but everyone's going to know what Neapolitan is.
All right. We'll let it slide.
We will let it slide. Okay. So a lot of our posts on Facebook and Twitter so far include chocolate and mint chocolate chip. So those are two really popular ones. I will admit, I love the frequency of moose tracks. I've seen several moose tracks. I do not understand why anyone would eat orange pineapple.
Ew.
Yep. I don't get
it. Ice cream?
He says that's a Cinderella team. So Randy is posting on Facebook, chocolate, strawberry, vanilla, which that's Neapolitan.
Yeah.
But he separates it. Chocolate, strawberry, vanilla. Kind of boring there. Just straight flavors.
Chalk.
Nothing.
He's going chalk.
Yeah. Straight chalk. He's going old school. Old school. OG. And then he throws in orange pineapple.
Yikes.
And he says, I got to have a Cinderella team in there.
No. I hope that's like a sherbet at least.
Keith goes with mint chocolate chip, black cherry, tiger tail. We might need to Google that. And butterscotch ripple. Oh. And you know what's making my mouth water? The number of people who are saying chocolate peanut butter. So good. Chocolate peanut butter chunk.
Oh, classic.
Oh, man. Have you come up with your four yet?
Oh, yeah, I have my four.
Already?
Mm-hmm.
No time to think about it? Nothing?
Oh, I thought about them all day.
No. Oh. No one's trying to convince you otherwise?
Oh, my list is set. It's ice cream. I don't mess around with ice cream.
Gotcha. Now, is Neapolitan in it?
No. I thought about it, though.
Gotcha.
But it wasn't fair. I didn't put it in it.
Rocky Road, another real popular one. I do love Rocky Road. I do not understand the number of mint chocolate chippers out there.
It's a popular flavor.
It is. All right. Well,
Tiger tail is blowing my mind now.
What is it?
I don't really know. I'm trying to find it.
So when we ask you your final four ice cream flavors, I guess I have to take them as you submit them. So again, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, producer Jay's retweeting. This is the first of our final four categories. And you can seed them. S-E-E-D. You can seed them if you want. Jay just had a violent reaction to Googling tiger tail ice cream. Oh, is it gross?
Oh, I hope it's not this.
Uh-oh.
This isn't good.
Oh, no.
This is orange ice cream swirled with black licorice. Like a tiger.
Come on.
That can't be actually it.
No. It might be.
What's orange ice cream? Just orange flavor, but it's not like a sherbet. It looks, oh my goodness, with black licorice
swirls.
Well,
orange ice cream might have orange flavor though, similar to, maybe it's creamsicle, but that wouldn't be orange. Jay's face, he is mortified.
It looks like a tiger, I gotta say. It's impressive.
Well,
the look
then that makes sense.
The look's enough to make me try a bite, but that's about it, I think.
Here's the funny part, when people send us a response and they only include one ice cream flavor. All right. Do you get
overwhelming favorite?
Do you get the concept of the final four?
God, you love strawberry.
Final four ice cream flavors. Final four, not top four, not top three, not your top seed. We need final four ice cream flavors. Again, on Twitter or Facebook, and our phone number 855-212-4227. Speaking of the final four, it was a battle with the final four on the line Monday night in Albany between Iowa and LSU.
Inbounds goes to Martin, to Clark, step back straightaway three. Again, Caitlin Clark, unconscious, 31 points. Seven threes. It's 61-52 Iowa. A Folter will inbound to Martin on the right sideline. Dribbles out between the circles. 12 on the shot clock. Hands off to Clark. As we approach 5 minutes. Step back, right wing three. You've got to be kidding me. Caitlin Clark grabs her chest. Looks to the crowd. Matches a career high with 9 threes. She's got 37. And it's 80-69 in favor of Iowa as a Folter gets tied up with Reese. We're going to get a jump ball. Iowa wanted a foul. And it is going to head back to the Hawkeyes.
with Lance Meadow on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. I have no clue how many people listened to the broadcast, but I do know that the TV broadcast averaged 12.3 million viewers, which, as I'm sure you're ahead of me already and you know what I'm going to say, one of the most watched games in any sport other than NFL this season and the most watched women's college basketball game in history or on record, right? So as long as they've been keeping records, this is the most watched women's college basketball game ever. 12.3 million viewers on average. Now, here are some of the others that, or some of the other sporting events that you could hold up next to it. Iowa LSU had more viewers than all but one of the five games in last June's NBA Finals. And more viewers than the clinching game of last year's World Series, in which the Texas Rangers won their first title in franchise history. Kind of interesting, too, that one of the highest rated women's basketball games of all time goes back to the early 80s when Kim Mulkey played for Louisiana Tech, and it was the game between her team and Southern Cal, and it was the championship on the women's side. Cheryl Miller, also in that game. Trojans won a championship then. It was kind of fun that she's part of that history, right? So that was one of the most watched women's basketball games of all time. But LSU, Iowa, not even a Final Four game, but an Elite Eight broadcast. 12.3 on average. Most watched men's or women's college basketball game ever on ESPN, more than doubling the previous largest audience. So that's awesome. Only one men's tournament game had bigger viewership this year, and that was NC State over Duke. So buckle up, because I can imagine the numbers get even larger. They swell even more for the Final Four this weekend. Looking forward to it. It's not just Caitlin Clark, though she gets a lot of the credit. There's so much star power on both the men's and women's side in these Final Fours. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio, Final Four ice cream flavors, because we're like that. And then also, you've got your chance to ask Amy anything. Monty Poole from the Bay Area to talk Warriors.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And their defensive prowess. That's next here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Doncic guarded by Wiggins. On the screen, gets Pajemski on the switch. Pajemski wants the challenge. Doncic penetrates over to Irving, puts it on the deck to the paint. Finds Gafford, goes in, blocked by Draymond! Ripped the ball away, saved it to Thompson! What a play by Draymond! Curry will come up the floor. Draymond Green with his block of the year. Doncic, stutter step, ball goes to Irving. Good catch on the sideline. Throws it inside to Washington, falling out of bounds. Back out to Irving, 4 seconds, 3 seconds. Shoots a three, top of the backboard, out of bounds. Golden State ball with 1.7, and that should do it. Warriors did it to Clay, ball game's over. Golden State gets the win, 104 to 100. And the Warriors with a big, big win. Go to 41-34.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tim Roy on the Warriors Radio Network. 5-game win streak, and it is better late than never. And somehow the Warriors have put a premium on defense again as they are at 500 inside the Chase Center. Strange to say, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We welcome Monty Poole, who's a longtime Warriors insider from NBC Sports Bay Area. Monty, in this last 5 games, the Warriors have turned into this defensive juggernaut, holding 4 of the 5 teams to 100 points or fewer, including the Mavericks. How did that happen?
You know, they've always had it in them. And back in February, when they were 11-3 in February, and they were top 5 all month in defense. And then March hit, and they were 21st, I believe, in defensive efficiency and defensive rating in the month of March. It just disappeared. They, you know, it's like they lost focus. There were a lot of miscommunications, a lot of just blatant errors being made on defense that was stunning to watch, given the point of the season they're in. And apparently they convened and decided, look, guys, you know, if we're going to let the season slip away, let's make sure it slips away with us trying our best on defense. And you're seeing it again now. They're back to being a top 5 defense. And so that's what they have to be with this team to have a chance to make any kind of a run at all in the postseason, assuming they escape the play-in tournament. So that's going to be their linchpin. Offensively, they're not the team they were 5, 6, 7 years ago. They can still score. But, you know, Steph is, 36 years old now. Clay is 34 years old. So those guys used to give you combined 50, 60 a night, many nights. And now tonight, you know, those guys go 10 for 32 from the field and give you 27 points among the two of them. So defense is going to be the way, and if they don't play well on defense, they'll be out of the postseason before you know it. So if they do play well, give themselves a chance to win some games.
All right, so we'll talk about Dre and his role in the defense because it's so critical. But I was listening to the Warriors Radio Network immediately following the win, and they talked to Gary Payton, Tim, and Tom Tolbert, and they asked him why all of a sudden or why they're back to being a defensive juggernaut again. And he said, it's a sense of urgency. We have our backs against the wall. And I got to tell you, Monty, that answer annoys me. It's not like they fell from number 2 in the West. They've been battling for their playoff lives now for a month at least.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what I'm saying. You know, when they had a nice road trip in March, early March, and they come home and beat the Milwaukee Bucks at home. And you think, okay, maybe the Warriors have found something now. You know, they've got a little win streak going, and they're going to get back to mojo. And then they lose to the Chicago Bulls the next night, or 2 nights later. And then they lose to the San Antonio Spurs at home. So to come home and beat the Bucks and lose to the Bulls and the Spurs, what does that tell you about that team's focus, about its intensity? It just wasn't there, and it's been a strange season for them at home all season. They're 500 at home. 500.
Why?
And this is a team, and on the road, they're 6 above 500, or 7 above 500. So it's hard to, I've asked everybody on the team, literally, coaches, players, trainers, how do you explain this? And nobody seems to have an answer. The one thing that they do say, which shouldn't make a difference between home and away, but one thing that's pretty consistent is that everybody says that this team is a together team, that they're tight and sometimes on the road, that's a benefit. You know, you kind of bond it. And if you're on the road, it's just you guys. You know, there's not a lot of other sort of ways to take away from your focus. And so I'm guessing maybe that's a factor there because there's just not as many distractions on the road as there are at home maybe. But it's certainly been a different team at home this season where they've been booed 3 or 4 times this season because there were nights when they just didn't seem to be playing basketball. They were just out there on the court going through the motions, it looked like.
Monty Poole of NBC Sports Bay Area, just fresh off covering the victory over the Mavericks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Final minute of the game, Draymond Green delivers one of those signature blocks, signature defensive stops, and then he saves the ball by walking the tightrope. So I know he's in his 30s too, but he had a couple months off, I suppose. He obviously is a highly intelligent. He's so skilled. We know that the defense is built around him, but he just got ejected again last week. How different is he to you since his suspension, Monty?
Hasn't been to me. I mean, he's the same guy. I think the ejection, though, that hit everybody. That hit Steph really hard because, you know, nobody has a sense of urgency like Steph does. He's the oldest guy on the team. He realizes that the sand is starting to run out of the hourglass. and he understands that he has maybe 1 or 2 more seasons when it's possible to do something special. And they have a little run. They get Draymond back, and he's a big part of their defensive resurgence in February. And you get into March, and you start, okay, let's rough March, but we have 12, 14 games. Let's pull it together, guys. Let's pull it together, guys. And Draymond goes out and gets ejected in a game, and he earned that ejection. And Steph was just, I mean, think about this. Steph and Draymond had such great chemistry together on the court.
Right.
It really is like it's watching two. And they do it so well, and you see it a lot of times in the course of the game. You saw it just a couple of days ago in San Antonio. Again? Really? I mean, I'm sure he felt a sense of abandonment because he understands that he and Draymond are the keys to what this team is going to do. And Draymond gets ejected in the opening minutes.
Right, 4 minutes in.
And Steph is all alone to finish the job, which they got the good Andrew Wiggins that night, so that helped them get him over the top. But if you're Steph, you're like, dude, we've talked about this so many times. They've had dozens, maybe hundreds of conversations between the two of them, and this still happens. And so, but for us, Draymond hasn't really changed much in his relationship with me and I think most of us in the media. He's always been pretty good. Tonight he was the last guy in the locker room, and he spoke for 12, 14 minutes. And, you know, he answered every question. And even at one point, Raymond Ritter, the Warriors' crack PR guy, said, 2 more questions. And I had just asked a question. I had a follow-up. And Draymond said, go ahead. What else? Go ahead. Go ahead. No, go ahead. So that's who he's been. And so on the court, though, yeah, he's a different guy. But when you see what he did in the game on Sunday against the Spurs, when you see what he did in the closing moments tonight in this game against the Mavericks, you kind of understand why the Warriors have bent over backwards for this guy over the years. You understand why they've enabled him, which I don't think is the best way to go, but they've done it. They've done it. And this is why you see this and you go, you know what? This is why this is why they put up with Draymond.
Not just that, but they speak very highly of him. I know that they don't hold back when it comes to these moments. Steph, as you point out, was dejected after that ejection. Ha ha. And Steve Kerr calls him out. He routinely calls him out now. And yet they praise him up one side and down another for his role and his value to the team.
Yeah, he's irreplaceable for what he does. I mean, and I think he's unique in the NBA for what he does. Certainly on the defense. I mean, offensively, he's also really good with, you know, the way he sets things up. But defensively, he's unique. I mean, he can guard 1 through 5. And he, with Trayce Jackson-Davis, the rookie, playing a lot of 5 these past couple months, Draymond is given a little bit more of a license to kind of roam around a little bit like a free safety. He's a four now. But he can play the passing lanes a little bit. He can sort of direct things and orchestrate things on that end in ways that he can't quite do when he's guarding Nikola Jokic. You know, so it's a different job for him right now. He had six steals in that second game against the Spurs the other day. I mean, that's Draymond. That's hard to do that if you're a five. But if you're a four and you got a rim protector behind you, you can kind of take some liberties there. And he did that, but his liberties tend to be smart liberties. And so, again, he's irreplaceable for what he does as Steph is for what he does.
Hmm. Klay Thompson back in the starting lineup. Why that move by Steve Kerr?
I think they realized that they needed a little more scoring there. And Brandon Podziemski does a million things on the court. But, and I said this maybe four or five games before they made the switch, that Brandon has to make people guard him. For this lineup to work with him as a starter with Steph, he has to be able to give you some offense. He has to make a few shots, and he wasn't doing that. And Klay is a guy that demands defense. You got to defend Klay. And teams are lagging off of Brandon because he wasn't making any shots and he wasn't shooting very much. And so when you lag off of one guy, guess who gets the overload? Number 30, you know. And so with Klay out there, you don't see defenses sagging off of him. So I think that's a big part of it. And plus, Klay makes him a little bit bigger up front.
Well, then how dangerous can they be? Play-in tournament, first round. Last year they were able to beat the Kings in a game seven. I think experience had a lot to do with it then, but fell against the Lakers. So how much different could it be this year?
There are a team of ifs. If Draymond stays on course.
Ugh.
If they defend at the level they are capable of defending at, and if they close games better than they did earlier this season when they were giving up leads like popcorn. And so those are the ifs. If they do those things, I mean, that's when maybe their postseason experience can kind of kick in and give them a bit of an edge. It helped them last year against the Kings. They barely pulled it out, but they got seven games, and they did it in game seven in Sacramento. Steph had to put up 50, but they got it done. But I think for them, their belief is that if we get to the postseason and we play our game, that we'll see one of those younger teams, whether it's Minnesota, Oklahoma City, whoever it might be, if we see one of those teams, we know how the postseason works. We know the rhythm. We know the timing of it all. We understand the terrain. It's our territory. We've been there so many times, we know. And if you look back just 2 years ago when they played the Celtics were a better team.
Right.
But they weren't ready for that. They weren't ready to win yet. And the Warriors, once they got game four, it was like, uh-oh, this series is over. Because they know what it takes to win in the postseason, and they have to find that to have a chance. And if they defend, that's the first step.
Before I let you go, Monty, just thinking about the final couple years of Steph Curry's career, obviously Hall of Famer, Draymond Green as well, more than likely. So then if he thinks, or he can kind of see the writing on the wall, he's 36 now, they have a couple of young players that appear to be contributing. You mentioned Brandon, also Trayce Jackson-Davis. I mean, they've got some younger guys, and yet they still don't seem to have the formula or have what it takes to be a contender again. How much of that is subject to change?
Yeah, this is going to be a big summer for them. Big summer. Klay Thompson's future, he's the one guy of the core that's not really under contract beyond this season. Steph has two more years. Draymond has two more years. Steve Kerr has two more years. And Klay does not. And that's going to be a big decision. I mean, I'm not giving it. I think there's a chance he could be someplace else next season.
Whoa.
I don't think they want it, and I don't think he wants it. But I'm not going to count out the possibility because, you know, he's making $44 million a year this year. And the money he turned down last summer, 2 years, $48 million. I mean, I don't know that they're going to offer him that kind of a package again. I don't know because Klay isn't the same player he was. He began this season wanting to be an all-star. And by, maybe December, he realized he's not at all-star level anymore. He understands that. You know, and so it took him a little while to be accustomed to that, to understand that, to really come to grips with it. But by the time Steve Kerr moved him to the bench in February, he understood. He understood that he's not the player he used to be. He can't be that guy anymore. and he still can be a really good player, especially on offense. Defensively, he can't come close to what he was before. He defensively, he can guard certain players, slower players, bigger players, but guys run by him a lot on defense. He doesn't really get many stops anymore, and he used to be pretty good at that. So he's not the same player, and it depends on how flexible he is with his contract demands, because the Warriors would like to keep him for sure. But, yeah, I'm not going to close that door and say, nope, he's for sure coming back. I think both sides want it, but I'm not going to say it's going to happen for sure. So that's a big factor, and I think beyond that, it's just a matter of trying to find another dominant player, another really great player that's not in his 30s, not in his late 30s for sure. So I know one thing. The CEO of this team, Joel Akub, he is nothing if not ambitious. And if they don't do well over this summer, it won't be because he didn't try. I know that for a fact.
Interesting change potentially on the horizon for the Warriors, who have now made it 2 years in a row, essentially, of being in this play-in tournament and not maybe living up to the potential that they thought was there. You can find Monty on Twitter at MontyPoolNBCS, so from the NBC Sports Bay Area affiliate, and at the game tonight against the Mavericks. Always good to talk to you, sir. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
All right, Amy, take care.
Interesting to hear that. What? Obviously, these guys get older. It's like any other athlete. And at some point, teams have to make hard choices about paying guys based on nostalgia and the past and their value in previous seasons and previous championship runs. And the Warriors have four of them with Klay and Steph and Dre. But $44 million is a lot of money to be paying for Klay Thompson. And I still think he's amazing. He can still pop off for 30, 35. He's still game. He loves basketball. He's not going to quit, obviously. Oh, that could hurt. That could hurt the Bay Area fan base.
People have feelings.
It could hurt Klay as well. And Steph, can you imagine the two of them playing in other... But you know what? We've seen famous duos break up before. It is the nature of the beast in sports. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and our Facebook page, too. Famous duos is a different Final Four category. This one is Final Four ice cream flavors. I'm a little bit disturbed by how many of you love mint chocolate chip. No, no. It's the villain of the Final Four ice cream bracket.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Swing it up. Drive high and deep center field. Going back, Benson looking up at the wall, and it's gone over the angled wall. The first hit of the year for Harper is a home run.
Here's Bryce Harper. And he leads off by swinging and ripping one deep to right. This one's got a chance. It's gone. And Harper, a coming out party. tonight against the Reds. His first two hits, and they're both home runs. Suter comes set, and the 3-2 pitch. Swing and a drive. Well hit up the alley, right center field, and it is gone. A grand slam. Three for number three as Bryce Harper with his third home run of the night. 8-1 Phillies. His second career three-homer game in the big leagues, his first as a Philly.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Welcome back, Bryce Harper. It was a slower start for Bryce. 0 for 11 with a walk while he was playing in three of the Phillies' first four games. But the Cincinnati Reds got Bryce Harper's version of his best self. I hate that phrase. Such a millennial phrase. Sorry, Jay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Solo home runs in the first and fourth innings against Graham Ashcraft. Hi, Graham. And then his seventh career grand slam that came later as the Phillies were busting this one open. You hear the call there with Scott Fransky on Phillies radio. So, yeah, good for him to get these three home runs, for the Phillies to get their second win. It's such a long way to go. I don't even like to look at standings at this point. It's fun to see the last couple teams that are undefeated, as well as the last couple teams to pick up their first wins of the year. But otherwise, gosh, no one's scoreboard watching at this time of the year. And if you are, you should not be. So, whatever. But the Phillies, they can use Bryce Harper at his best. But that's not the best story of the game. You know how much I love these quirky stories, these redemption stories, the stuff that movie scripts are made of. And maybe it's too early to write it down and send it to a big theater, but this is kind of fun. Ricardo Pinto was called up from the minor leagues on Tuesday. He was called up to make his first major league appearance since 2019. Another Phillies player went on the IL, and Ricardo needed to fill that spot. Except he was late getting to the ballpark. In fact, he didn't arrive until the fourth inning of the game on Tuesday.
He got stuck in traffic. So he sent him out, I think it was about noon, from Rochester in a car because we couldn't get a plane. And then he got caught in traffic. So, yeah, that's a baseball player. It's like American Legion. Yeah, he came in, yeah. But I think he threw like in the tunnel or something like that, or in the cages, and then came out and said hello and then headed down to the bullpen.
They couldn't get him a plane, Rob Thompson says. So they had to get him a car from Rochester, New York. I actually lived and worked in Rochester after I graduated from Syracuse. Depending upon traffic and all that jazz, you're talking about getting across the thruway, upstate New York, then going down. Even if you go around New York City, you're still going to deal with traffic in that metro to get down to Philadelphia. And now you're talking about rush hour traffic, trying to get into the Philly metro and get to the ballpark. So they got stuck in traffic. He doesn't arrive at the stadium until four innings in. He says hello. They send him down to the bullpen, and get this. He throws four innings. So can you do the math? I can. He doesn't arrive until the fourth inning. He starts warming up. He goes into the game. He gets his first career save. Hasn't made a major league appearance in 5 years. Is four innings late. Can you imagine his stress level? Gets thrown onto the mound. Earns his first career save over the next four innings.
I'm super happy to come back home. I'm surrounded by a lot of people that I can call my friends. Ranger Suarez is, I believe he's one of my best friends, you know, so I'm extremely happy to have him around. And also other people, just as Alvarado, a lot of the minor leaguers that were with me. I'm extremely happy to have Ranger around because he's a super great person.
The drive took 8 hours. 8 hours. He arrives at the ballpark. He goes to the bullpen. He has, I don't know, a few minutes to warm up for his first major league appearance in 5 years. He goes out there and earns his first career save by pitching 4 innings. That's pretty incredible. Congratulations, Ricardo Pinto. I love those stories. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, The Hump Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.